Welcome to the Hope United Podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe.
For those that don't know, I'm Joshua Swilly. My wife is Corinne Swilly. We're the lead pastors here at Hope United. If it's your first time, we welcome you here, and there's a QR code on the back. You can scan that. We'd love to connect with you. You can connect with us that way. There's something so powerful when you go on a journey of faith with others that are also going on a journey. Amen? Before we get started, let's pray together. God, thank you, Father, for the journey you have us on today. We thank you, and we recognize what you did all those years ago on the cross when you died for our sins and you rose again in all power. God, let us hear something as we open your word today that will benefit us, cause us to be successful in the life that you've given us to live. In Jesus' name, everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Well, today we're celebrating an event that changed history forever. Easter Sunday, the moment in history where Jesus not only died, but he rose again in power. He demonstrated that he has power over death, hell, and the grave. So I want to talk a little bit about that today, talk about the person of Jesus, and the title of the message is Come to Life. Somebody say that with me one time, real loud. Come to life. It feels good, doesn't it? I want to start right here in John chapter 11, if you'll go with me there. And it tells the story of a man named Lazarus. And Lazarus and his two sisters, Mary and Martha, were friends of Jesus, and something happened, though, where Lazarus was sick, and it wasn't any type of sickness. This was the type of sickness, if not addressed, would end in death, and so Mary and Martha quickly send a word out to their friend and rabbi and faith healer. They send out this lifeline, and Jesus comes to their aid immediately. No, actually, the story says he waits 2 days. And this is a very puzzling thing that happens, but it is the backdrop for the story I want to tell you today. And as the story goes on, Lazarus dies, but spoiler alert, Jesus brings him back to life. So I want to start right here in verse 1, chapter 11. It says that a man named Lazarus was sick, and he lived in Bethany with his sisters Mary and Martha. I want to tell you that just as Lazarus was sick, that there are places in our lives that are broken. There's things that need to be fixed. There's areas that we just need God to step in and get involved. We need a miracle. Anybody? You've had that before, or you're right in the middle of that, whether it's something big or whether it's something small, we need the hands of the master. So I want you to ask this question to yourself, and I want you to think about what's going on in your life and ask, what's broken that needs to be fixed? Could be something big, could be something small. What is your challenge in this season? What is your struggle in this season? What is broken that needs to be fixed? Now, verse 3, it says, the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, Lord, your dear friend is sick. They're leaning on their relationship here because they need hope. But when Jesus heard about it, he said, Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God so that the Son of God will receive glory from this. So just pause for a second and think that this message arrives to Jesus that Lazarus is sick, and immediately he tells them that this sickness will not end in death and that God is going to get the glory. Right. I want to tell you about whatever your struggle is. No matter what's broken, no matter what you're going through in your life, God is not going to let it defeat you. No. From the moment Jesus received the message, he said, look, this sickness is not going to end in death. And this is the type of assurance that I want to fill you with today, that if you rely on God and you put your trust in God and you put your faith in God, he's not going to let whatever's broken in your life stay broken. He's not going to let whatever you're struggling with continue to be your struggle. He's going to step in. He's going to cause a miracle to happen. So no matter what your problem is today, your challenge, your struggle, God is about to step in, and watch this, God's going to get the glory. And this is the principle, pure and simple. You get the miracle, he gets the glory. You get the miracle, God gets the glory. And what a beautiful exchange. And we see through history and we see throughout the Word of God, it happens over and over and over again, that we get the miracle, he gets the glory. Actually, Scripture tells us that in the end, the whole earth will be filled with what? His glory. So that means God is going to continue the same pattern of stepping in and doing miraculous things. Scripture tells us no eye has seen, no ear has heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. So that tells me that God is going to keep on stepping. And whatever you're going through, that God is going to step into your circumstance. And he's going to cause a miracle to happen. And he's going to get the glory. 2,000 years later, we're still giving God the glory for the miracle that he did with Jesus on the cross and raising to life again. We get the miracle, he gets the glory. What an amazing exchange. Now here's the puzzling part. It's coming up in verse 5. It says, although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. So Lazarus was sick. He was about to die. But Jesus, for whatever reason, he stayed where he was. Now, you may have heard this before, but God may not move when you want him to move, but he's always right on time. Sometimes it doesn't seem to make sense. Jesus, in that moment when they said, hey, we got to get moving, Jesus stayed put for 2 more days. Why? Sometimes it doesn't make sense. Sometimes we don't understand it, but he's right on time. God may not move when you want him or how you want him, but he's going to come through right on time. I want you to hear that today, because sometimes we go through stuff and we've been in that stuff for a while and we begin to lose hope. We begin to get discouraged and we forget that God is always on time. He's not on your time, but he's on time. He's going to come through when you need it. Jesus is going to show up right on time. Now, when Jesus shows up, he's going to bring some clarity. I love this about God, because it's like two opposite sides of the spectrum. Wherever God is, wherever Jesus is, there's clarity. Wherever the devil is, he's bringing confusion. He's throwing a smoke screen out there. He's causing things to be muddled up. But Jesus shows up first to his disciples, and he says, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, in verse 11, now I will go and wake him up. Jesus wants to clarify what's going on in your life. But you got to be listening. You got to be listening. Because if you're not listening, you could miss it. You could miss important instructions. Because God is always speaking and he's always clarifying. If you don't listen, you're going to miss what God is doing. If you're not listening, you're going to be confused about what's going on in your life. If you're not listening, you could be looking the wrong way when God's trying to bless you in a different area. Jesus says in verse 11, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. Different perspective than man's perspective. Different perspective than the disciples' perspective. Different perspective than Mary and Martha's perspective. He says Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I will go and wake him. I want to tell you that God is waking people up. God wants to wake you up. God wants to wake people up around you. God is in the business of waking people up. He's the God of the living, not the God of the dead. He wants to wake you up. And sometimes that's a dead dream. Sometimes that's your hope. He wants to wake up. Sometimes it's something that you thought was impossible, and he's about to show you that it is not impossible. Scripture tells us that all things are possible for those that believe. So God is stepping into your life and he's waking things up. And here's one that even builds upon that. He's inviting you to go partner with him to wake others up. Jesus said to the disciples, come, let's wake up Lazarus. He's fallen asleep. And I think this is one of the most exciting things that I get to do and we get to do, the ministry team and the people here at Hope, is we get the tremendous opportunity to partner with God to wake people up. Maybe there's brokenness in someone's life. Maybe there's despair. Maybe there's a lack of faith. But when we partner with God, we're able to walk in to whatever circumstance and see people woken up. So I want to tell you, God wants to wake you up, and he wants to partner with you to wake others up. And just like he took the disciples, he's taking us different places to help wake people up. There are people that are hurting, people that are broken, people that are spiritually dead that God wants to wake up in this season. Are you ready for things to be woken up? And I like this part in verse 14. He continues to clarify. He says in verse 14, he tells them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there, for now you will really believe. I just paused right there because I realized that Jesus does this a lot. And if you look at his relationship with the disciples, he's doing this all the time, right? He first, there's the miracle with the fish and the increase, the catch, right? And it says the disciples believed and they started to follow him, many of them, right? And then they go to the wedding at Cana of Galilee, and then he turns the water to wine, and it said then they really believed. And then God took him over here, and it said then they really believed. Then he calmed the water, he calmed the storm, and they said then they really believed. And then he raises Lazarus from the dead, and they really believed. What is Jesus doing? He's increasing faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Jesus wants us to please God, so he increases our faith. And then he shows, hey, look at this. I want to increase your faith again. Come into this, step into this circumstance with me so I can increase your faith again. The devil may have tried to do this, but let me step into this with you and let me increase your faith yet again. God wants to increase your faith. As you walk with God, as you walk with Jesus, he will increase your faith. You cannot walk with God and not have your faith increased. Today, I want to tell you yet again, Jesus wants to increase your faith. I'm not saying you didn't believe before. I'm just saying he wants to increase your faith, just as he took the disciples on a journey of ever increasing faith. He wants to do that with us. Are you ready for a season of more faith? God didn't cause the things, the negative things that happen in your life, but he will use those things to be an opportunity to cause more faith in your life. And so Jesus was saying, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I'm glad that it did happen, because now I'm going to allow an opportunity that you're really going to believe even more. So as Jesus is trying to increase our faith, I want to tell you the devil does not want your faith to increase. So he's going to try to distract you. He's going to try to send some people around you that are going to say the wrong things. Anybody have some people around you that said some wrong things? I get two hands up in the air because I've had some people say some wrong things. Now, some of them had the wrong agenda. Some of them were well-meaning, though. Right? And but we have to be careful, because when we're trying to grow in faith, somebody even that's well-intending can say something that is not faith. John 19, this is exactly what happened with Mary and Martha. They just lost their brother. They're grieving. And it says, and many of the people had come to console. Somebody say console. Many people had come to console Martha and Mary in their loss. Sometimes well-intending people will come around you and they'll tell you the wrong thing. They mean well, but they're not speaking faith. They're not speaking from the Spirit. So you have to be careful for people that comfort you when it's not time to be comforted. There's times to be comfortable and be comforted, and there's a time to be uncomfortable and not be comforted. I've learned in life to be able to say thank you, but no thank you. I appreciate what you're trying to do, but I need to be doing something a little bit different right now. I've learned that in my life there's times I need to be comforted and times I don't need to be comforted. You're walking into a season, we're walking into a season where we don't need to be comforted, we need to be challenged. And that's exactly what Jesus did when he showed up and he looked at Martha and he began to speak faith to her. He didn't say, listen, it's going to be okay. You know, these things happen and, you know, one day we'll all be back together again. It wasn't a time to comfort in that moment. It was a time to challenge. So I want to tell you that is the season that God is doing, because Jesus wants to step in and cause you to think differently. Faith is thinking differently. If you want to go certain places in God, you're not going to get there unless you learn to think differently. You're going to need to be challenged sometimes and not comforted. There's a time, yeah, there's a time to be comforted, but there's also a time to be challenged. And their thinking was wrong. Martha's thinking was wrong. Mary's thinking was wrong. So Jesus in verse 21 says, Martha says to Jesus first, Lord, if you'd only been there, my timetable, my understanding, my paradigm, right? If you'd only been there. See, I'm trying to interpret what God is doing through my limited understanding. Jesus, if you'd only been there, my brother would not have died. Martha was stuck in the box. Stuck with the old thought process, the old type of thinking. And Jesus comes to help us think differently. That's faith, thinking differently. And so, verse 23, Jesus tells her, your brother will rise again. Yes. Now, it would have been better if Martha would have got it the first time around, right? He says, look, your brother will rise again. Right there, it's clear that he's saying, hey, this is a possibility right within the reason. Like, we don't know, is Jesus talking about right now or right then? But just try to dial in on what Jesus is saying, right? Martha misses it, right? Jesus challenges Martha's thinking, but Martha says in verse 24, he will rise when everyone else rises, right? He'll rise when everyone else rises in the last days, at the last day. She was still stuck in that old paradigm. Guys, let me tell you something. It is such an important thing that you learn to think differently.
Yes, sir.
Paul said it like this, do not conform any longer to the ways of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your what? He said you have to think different. Don't keep going back and thinking the way that you thought before, but think different. Faith is about thinking different. And so she says, oh, he'll rise when everyone else rises. She was stuck in the box, but Jesus challenges her again. Verse 25, Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Jesus was saying, everyone that believes in me, who follows me, who is in me, will never die. It's a shift of thinking. This is where Jesus wants to take us, from fear and a desire to be comforted to faith. From fear and a desire to be comforted. Listen, I'm not against comforting, but sometimes you don't need to be comforted. Listen, when you need to lose weight, you don't need to be comforted. You need somebody to say, get your butt up and get into the gym. Put your running shoes on. Let's go. It's not time to be comforted. There is a time to be comforted, and there is a time to be challenged. This is when we come to life, when we come to Jesus. Jesus says, look, it's a shift in thinking. This is where Jesus wants to take us. We come to life when we come to Jesus. We come to life when we understand the revelation of who Jesus is and what he does. Life, True life is walking with Jesus. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. I bring dead things back to life, and I sustain that which is alive. I am life incarnate. If you are with me, if you're dead, you will be resurrected. If you're alive, I will sustain you. Come to me. I am life. I will give you life and life more abundantly. John 10:10. The devil wants to steal from you, kill, destroy things. I want to give you life. Why? Because he is life. It's time to break out of the box. It's time to break out of old thinking. This is what God wants to do with us. A new thinking. A faith thought process. Faith in God is the air that we breathe.
Yes, sir.
I want you to breathe something fresh in today. That's what the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is the breath, the ruach of God. You can't keep breathing him in and think the same. He will change your thought process. If you keep on breathing in the Holy Spirit, he changes you. Just like a natural diet changes you, you change what you eat, it starts to change you. Change what you breathe. Holy Spirit will change you. We come to life when we come to him. Will you bow your head with me? I want to pray with you today. Today, God wants to help us change our thinking. Wants to help us get outside the box. See the realm of possibilities that you've never seen before. God wants to bless you. He told Jeremiah, he said, I have plans for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, but to give you hope and a future. If you don't have Jesus in your life, let me tell you something. You haven't even really experienced living yet. This is really living. The way to come to life is coming to Jesus. And the closer that we get to Jesus, the more we experience life. We are breathing it in. So I want to, in a moment, I want to pray with you. If you've never accepted Jesus, I want to pray with you. Or if you've drifted in your relationship with Jesus, I want to pray for you. Maybe life, circumstances, things came up, you got distracted, whatever happened and you drifted. This is the day, this is the moment to reconnect with Jesus. If either of those things, you say, man, I've never really connected with Jesus, or I kind of got disconnected, I kind of drifted. If either of those are you, I just want you to slip up your hand. I want to pray with you right where you are today. Amen. 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 The most important decision that we make is when we say yes to Jesus, or we recommit to Jesus. We re-up and say, I need Jesus. I need more of Jesus. If you slipped up your hand, or if you agree with this prayer, you can pray this with us. Say, Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me to wipe out my sins and raising again in all power. I realize I need you more than ever. I can't do it by myself. I'm sorry for the moments I messed up, I sinned. I want to come back to you. I need your forgiveness. Jesus, wipe my slate clean. Make me pure before God. That when he looks in me, he sees the perfection of Christ. Walk with me, Jesus. Lead me. Talk to me. Give me the strength to be like you, to be more like you every day. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Come on, let's give God the praise today. I'm so excited that God gives us the opportunity to be made right with him. Guys, we would all be a mess if it was not for Jesus. That's what's so exciting. That's what's worth running around and dancing and singing about, is the goodness of God. I'm so excited for you if you dedicated your life to Jesus or you rededicated your life to Jesus. I want to encourage you, get connected here at Hope. Or get connected in a local church. It's so important. The devil likes to pick off Lone Rangers. It's harder to be picked off when you're in community. Amen? Get in community and it will cause you to flourish and prosper. I'll leave you with this thought. If God is for you, who can be against you? And if Jesus is in your corner, you will be undefeated. God bless you.
Thanks again for listening. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, if God is with you, you will be undefeated.